Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Some of the texts about doorbells. Liz says, we have a canine doorbell. Works very well for either friend or foe. Kate says, one of the things I first did when I bought my house was disconnect the doorbell. If someone knocks on my door, I'll generally answer it. No door knocker required. 51551, I live in Cabra and my doorbell rings loads with neighbours, children, friends, etc. And not all calls planned at all. I still call into people randomly as well. Okay, Ozempic, Wegovy, they're the new weight loss drugs that in many cases have been transforming waistlines. But they have also been disrupting markets as well. To look at the impact that it's been having on some of the biggest companies around the world, we're joined by Adam Maguire from the RTE Business Desk. Adam, first off, we're going to talk about those whose businesses have been disrupted. Let's talk about those who have benefited first. The manufacturers and distributors of these two drugs, yeah. How have they done recently?
Very, very well. You'll be surprised here. Novo Nordisk is the biggest beneficiary. So that's the company that makes Ozempic and Wegovy. And if you compare the money they were making in 2020, which is a few years after Ozempic did hit the market, but before it was really seen as a weight loss drug, it was still very much a diabetes drug then. So you look at the results for that year compared to last year, revenues are up 83% and profit nearly doubled in the same period. It does make other medicines, of course, but the semaglutide has been the major driver of that growth. And if you were shrewd or lucky enough to have bought shares in Novo Nordisk back in 2021, they'd be worth about 3.5 times now what they were back then. Another pharma company benefiting is Eli Lilly. It is behind Novo Nordisk in developing its own weight loss drug, but it's Zepbound drug was approved in the US last year. Expectations it's going to see serious sales in the near future. Its shares are up 112% in the past year alone on the expectation of how much money they're going to make on the back of this. And those strong sales are expected to continue. The weight loss drug market is projected to be worth $100 billion by 2030, $150 by 2033. So like a 50% increase in 3 years is massive. So no surprise we're seeing other pharma firms trying to jump on board as well. AstraZeneca recently did a deal worth a potential $2 billion to license a Chinese oral drug that's in development, and if it does actually pass all the various tests and so on, they'll be the ones distributing it.
In advance of this, I checked out what the price of this drug is. If you aren't getting any kind of insurance assistance, it's €953 a month, and many people will take it for up to 2 years. So yeah, you can see how it is certainly a revenue generator. Let's talk then about those companies that have been impacted negatively or are trying to jump on the bandwagon of Ozempic and Wegovy.
Yeah, because all that money people are spending on these drugs, in a way, a lot of it isn't necessarily new. It's just coming from other parts of money they would have been spending. So, you know, people will know the wellness industry, how big that is today and how much money is spent on dieting companies in particular. But, you know, if you can take an injection and in the near future, maybe a pill, and you won't have to follow a specific diet plan, you'll just lose the weight anyway, then those diet companies, you can see, are going to be in trouble. So Weight Watchers is probably the best known diet company in the world, or WW International, as it's officially known. It's been front and centre of the diet industry for more than 60 years, but massive doubts now about its future. Its shares have fallen 94% since the start of 2021, so they've almost completely lost their value. A big catalyst of that was Oprah Winfrey, who had been a board member of Weight Watchers for years. She bought a 10% stake in the firm in 2015. Late last year, though, she mentioned in an interview that she was taking Ozempic.
And wasn't she bound to not do exactly that?
That was part of the problem. It wasn't a good look for a Weight Watchers board member to be, you know, taking a rival product essentially, but it was against the agreement she had. It specified she wouldn't engage in any other weight loss or weight management business as part of being a board member and a shareholder. So that culminated in her earlier this year announcing she wasn't going to seek re-election to the company's board. She was also donating her remaining shares to the National Museum of African American History.
So she's off the board and dumping her stock.
She's disconnecting herself altogether from Weight Watchers. And on the back of her announcing that, shares in Weight Watchers fell by 20% in a day, pretty much. I should say now that Weight Watchers is trying to change change its business to kind of adapt these weight loss drugs. It bought a company last year called Sequence, which connects patients with doctors who can prescribe these drugs. It's important because part of the FDA approval in the US is that you take these drugs in conjunction with a broader diet and exercise plan. So they're hoping if they're the middleman that's connecting patients to doctors, they can then say, well, this can be your diet plan and this can be your exercise regime.
So if the most famous weight loss company in the world has ended up suffering that badly, I would imagine that there's a whole raft of smaller companies that are really being hit badly.
Yeah, absolutely. People might be familiar with the name Jenny Craig. What wasn't as big a deal here as Weight Watchers, but really a staple of the US diet industry for four decades. I say it was because the company went bankrupt last year, 1,000 jobs lost, 500 of its weight loss centres were closed. It can't entirely be blamed on the weight loss drugs. The company had changed hands a few times. There were other issues with the business, but certainly it was the final nail in the coffin, really. Other more modern victims would be the likes of a weight loss app called Noom, which has been incredibly popular in recent years. At one point, it had a valuation of $3.7 billion, but it's really struggling now. It's had three rounds of layoffs in the past year alone. They're saying that they're moving to AI. They don't need as many staff and so on. But definitely, again, why do you need this app if you're on a weight loss drug?
If, as is being projected, you have 30 million Americans, I don't know about any other country in the world, on this drug in a number of years, that suppresses their appetite. What ends up happening to the food companies? Because presumably there's an awful lot less food being bought.
Yeah, it seems that's why Walmart has said it's analysed its consumer data, and those that are filling in an Ozempic or a Wegovy prescription as part of their trip to the shop, they're buying less food than the average customer. It stands to reason, as you say, if you have an appetite suppressant, you don't need to buy as much food. JP Morgan analysts suggest that users of the medicine reduce their food purchases by 8%. So not dramatic, but still a sizable hit for retailers and for food companies as well.
Because presumably it's the value-added ultra-processed foods that they would have been buying.
And it's the snack companies that are seen as the most vulnerable. Those that specialise in high-calorie, you know, unhealthy kind of foods that are probably the first to be on the chopping block if you're cutting food out of your shopping budget.
So what are companies doing to adjust here?
Yeah, well, the companies are kind of saying that, you know, you take, for example, the likes of Coca-Cola, which has kind of said, oh, look, we're ready for this. We've been moving away from high-sugar drinks for years anyway, which they have been. They've been diversifying their portfolio in part because of the sugar tax. And they're saying, look, we have protein drinks, we have, you know, low-calorie drinks, non-sugar drinks and so on. The CEO of Mondelez, which owns Cadbury's, is kind of saying the same things. They're saying, look, we've already been making our products smaller and healthier.
But that's putting a brave face on it, because while they did make some of the products smaller, they also, as you see, when you look at any chocolate counter, they put double bars together,
yeah,
two portions.
Yeah.
That's the way that they have maintained profit.
Yeah, and they've also kept the price the same. You have this shrinkflation of, you know, they make the product smaller and less calorie dense and so on, but it's still cost the same as before.
So are they behind the closed boardroom doors secretly quite worried?
Almost certainly. I spoke to someone in the food industry that specialises in kind of product development, and they're saying a lot of conversations going on at the moment around this. Companies essentially trying to figure out what they need to do to adjust to cater to the changing dynamic and how people are buying things, but also in terms of what people actually want when they're on these drugs as well.
And what do they need to do?
Well, I mean, the first company to go public on this is Nestle. So it's announced a frozen food line called Vital Pursuit. They said it's intended as a companion to the GLP-1 medicines. Essentially, it's going to be smaller portion sizes, more nutritional elements like higher protein and fiber. The argument being that people want smaller portions because their appetite is suppressed, but they also need all the extra bits and pieces they might be missing out on if they're cutting food out of the diet. To the same end, some vitamin and supplement companies are seen as potential beneficiaries. The US chain GNC has dedicated sections now in its shops for people on these medicines. But As someone said to me who works in this area, they're saying this is kind of the first generation of these things. They're doing the easy thing, make it smaller, throw in some extra vitamins and nutrition as well. Really, it's going to take time and research, because some people on these drugs lose their appetite, some people not so much, some people get stomach upset or constipation, some don't. Some people say their tastes change, that sweet things taste even sweeter to an unbearable degree, so that might require you to change the way you formulate a product as well. But it's still so early, so it'll take time before we have kind of the scientific research to say this is the kind of product that suits these people and this is what they'll actually want to buy.
A lot of interesting change afoot. Adam McGuire, thank you very much. Let's take our last break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.